We need to focus on the issue and the resolution. Many times when we have conflict, we can focus on who's right here. Is it you? And let me tell you why I think I'm right. If I'm to be honest, that's part of how I get into ugly conflict and we're not able to resolve things. Let's not focus on who is right or who is wrong. Let's focus on what we can do to resolve this.
You are listening to CCF Run-Through, Timeless Truths for Today's Life in just 30 minutes. If you want to hear more or know more about our ministry, please visit ccf.org.ph. Enjoy listening.
What can we learn from Joshua chapter 22? We're going to unpack that and ask ourselves, maybe we're not part of any world war, but there are many conflicts, some personal battles we're facing. Workplace, ministry, family. So we want to see what God will speak to all of us as we learn how can we have victory over conflict. We're going to unpack four things and then we're done. First, we need to check our hearts. Second, don't react, interact. Third, focus on the issue and resolution. And finally, honor God and respond humbly. Four simple things that I pray God is speaking to all of you wherever you are right now. Open your Bibles. We're going to look at Joshua 22. Let's set the stage. Who are the players? Joshua summoned Reubenites, tribe 1, Gadites, tribe 2, and then the half-tribe of Manasseh. So let's call them 2.5. Everybody say 2.5. So the 2.5, they're the main players. Joshua's calling them, and as he's calling them, he's giving them some reminders as everybody's getting settled. They've been able to conquer. You've heard many of the past services. He's now saying, I want to remind you all that Moses gave us a commandment and gave us some commands. And because you have done this, you have kept all that he's commanded you, not forsaken the brothers many days. You have kept the charge of the commandments of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers. And he spoke to them, therefore, turn now and go to your tents to the land of your possession beyond the Jordan. So let's look at that command. What did Moses tell them to do? This is what he said to them back in Numbers. He said, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for war, and all of your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out from before him, and the land is subdued before them, right? Then afterward you shall return and be free of obligation towards the Lord and toward Israel, and this land shall be yours for a possession before the Lord. Let's make this visual so we can appreciate it better. This was the land before they conquered. The instruction of Moses is, all right, you need to go with your brothers. You need to go from here and go attack them. And as you do that, you cross over, support your brothers in battle, so that once all of this territory has been settled and you have battled your way through, then here's what's going to happen. You can now move from there. All the tribes have their settlements. And the 2.5, you guys, you can go back over here into the land and you can then possess it. That is the command. So they all move from there to here and they get the 1, 2, 3 territories. As we're looking at victory over conflict, it's so interesting that Joshua is saying, here's the command that Moses gave you. I'm reminding everybody, they're now ready to go 2.5 into their territory. Here's what happens. Joshua says something very interesting. He says, only be very careful. Can everybody say, be very careful? Be very careful, the Bible says, to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded to, what is it? Love. Everybody say love. Love the Lord your God. Everybody say walk. Walk in all his ways. Everybody say keep. Keep his commandments. Everybody say hold fast. Everybody say serve. So Joshua is reminding them of something very important. All right, guys, we've done the battles. It's time for you to go home. And as you're going home into the land which you're supposed to possess, the 2.5, remember this. These five things. Love God, walk his ways, keep his commands, hold fast, serve him with all your heart, it says. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away and they went to their tents. What is so interesting about this passage is when you look at the Hebrew, we know that Joshua has been given instructions and God even gave him instructions before, right? He said, if you want to prosper, meditate on my word. He's given him a lot of instructions. Joshua is telling them, be very careful. And I found interesting that word very in the Hebrew is the word me'od. Me'od. And what does me'od mean? Can everybody say me'od? It is extremely careful. It's almost like Joshua is saying, proceed with extreme caution. As you're going, I want to remind all of you, you need to be prepared because of what things might happen. And if you look at the history, he's remembering all the things that they've been through and how when they were faithful, they were blessed. But when they were not faithful, remember Achan? Remember that? And remember what happened when they did not seek God with the Gibeonites? You remember that? So every time they're not faithful, they're not loving, walking, keeping, holding fast, serving, something can happen. Something disastrous can happen. So Joshua is reminding them and all of us, if we want to have victory, even over conflict, we need to ask ourselves, what is our heart condition as we go into any battle? And maybe when you're about, maybe even just on the way here, you had conflict. When you're there, you want to check your heart and stop and say, wait. How am I doing right now? Check your heart. The Bible tells us, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. The adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You know, when my wife and I have conflict, I will also tell her, I will look at her and say, babe, you are not the enemy. I am not the enemy. There's one enemy. Who is it? The devil. Friends, you want to have victory over conflict? Check your heart. Let's move on. Next, when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, who are the main characters here, the 2.5? The Reubenites, the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh. They built an altar by the Jordan. So this is where it gets interesting. They built an altar, and it was a large altar, the Bible says, in appearance. And so the sons of Israel heard it. So the other guys, not the 2.5, the other tribesmen, they're like, look, the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, the 2.5, they built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan. And what does it say? In the region of the Jordan, on the side belonging to the sons of Israel. So let me show you visually what's happening. Here's what's happening. So settled, as they settle in this territory, there is already an existing temple, the tabernacle in Shiloh, right here. That's what God instructed them. And suddenly, the 2.5, they built their own somewhere here, across where the other guys could see, like, what's going on? So I want you to understand why this is so bad. When the sons of Israel heard of it, everybody read it with me. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. Ito na, nagalit sila. Ganun na, laban na to. Let's fight. I ask myself, why would they react so aggressively? After so much peace, after what is happening, and they're one body. So when I unpack this a little bit more, here's why they were so upset. Look at this. God's instructions in Deuteronomy. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which God has given you to inherit, it shall come about that the place in which the Lord your God will choose for his name to dwell, there you shall bring all that I command you. So what is the Bible telling us here? The instruction of God is when you cross here, it has to be the place which God chooses, right? And he says, your burnt offerings, your tithes, the contribution of your land, all your choice votive offerings which you will vow to the Lord, do it in the place God chooses, not where the 2.5 want to build it. Are you following? So this is why they're like, whoa. And then God says, be very careful you don't offer your burnt offerings in every cultic place you see. What is that? So in the New Living Translation, it's don't just put your stuff or offer it anywhere you like. You can't just set it up across the Jordan, you 2.5 guys. That's what's happening here. So this is the instruction. And then look at this, even more emphasized. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 13, very, very important. The Bible says, if you hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God has given you to live in, anyone saying that some worthless men have gone out from among you and have seduced the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve other gods whom you have not known, then you shall investigate and search out and inquire thoroughly. If it is true and the matter established that this abomination has been done among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it and all that is in it and its cattle with the edge of the sword. That's why they were so upset. This is why, because of that instruction. If they're going to do this, this is what I want you to do. Are you guys following the Bible so far? So, What is also interesting here is when the Bible says this is what you need to do: investigate and search out and inquire thoroughly. So what are we learning? What is the second thing we can learn about victory over conflict from Joshua chapter 22? Don't react, interact. They could have gone all out into war and, like maybe the JFK moment, strike, let's go in, attack, destroy everything. They thought about doing it, they were ready, but instead, what did they do? They inquired, they went, they sent people. So it's so important that we remember this principle, because the reality is, in many of the conflict we might be in, we assume. Can everybody say assume? Siguro ginagawa nila tong temple na to kasi rebelde. At dahil rebelde sila, laban tayo. Let's fight them because they're rebelling against God. This is my assumption. It could be in the marriage. You know what? You know, this is why my husband is late. May ginagawa tong kalokohan. Meron. So, it's so important that we do not react. Everybody say, don't react, interact. And I love this verse. You know, Pastor Peter, my father-in-law, he likes to call it the suspense file. We need to have a suspense file. Don't react. Wait, why are they acting like this? Why are they setting up this temple? Let's interact. Because if I react prematurely, I don't have a suspense file. Let me suspend judgment first. Then I can do things I will regret. Are you guys with me? So, this Bible verse I love, and this is our memory verse through our series today. James tells us, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everybody must be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Some really, really great practical reminders that have powerful implications. If in our conflicts, whether it's in family conflict, school conflict, workplace conflict, ministry conflict, if we can just do this, I would think 99% of the problem will already be solved. If we are quick to hear, everybody say quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I've seen this as well. You know, I've had a number of conflict, and even building up to this point, which is why I'm thinking, Lord, is this why you want me to speak about this? It's like people have been coming up, and I've hurt them, I've offended them, and I'm shocked. And I realized that it's because, if I'm to be honest with you, I'm not quick to hear. I'm not slow to speak. I usually will react and say something, and even if I'm not maliciously doing it, it really comes out wrong. So this is why it's become so powerful a verse. James 1, 19 to 20. If we can just be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, instead of foot in mouth disease, right? Instead of foot in mouth disease, this will really help. And this has been critical in the case of the people of Israel. So I like how this gentleman, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, says, judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, judging, assuming, making all these assumptions, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace to which others are just as entitled as we are. Could it be that the reason there's still conflict in your life right now is because you have made judgments? You are assuming, and you're still carrying it with you, and that's why it's not yet resolved. What do we need to do? Don't react, interact. Ask, why am I reacting like this? What? So let's look at what they did. I love what the sons of Israel did. So here they are, the sons of Israel sent to the sons of Reuben, to the sons of Gad, and to the half tribe. So this is the other group of tribes, not the 2.5. The other brothers, so the 9.5, if you will. They're now sending them into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, so Phinehas, and then the 10 chiefs, one for each of the father's household, so the 9.5 tribes, right? They went to meet them, and they went and sent them to the 2.5. And here's what's happening. I want you to observe this. In resolving this conflict, look what's happening. They came to the sons of Reuben, to the sons of Gad, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the 2.5, and they spoke with them, saying, thus the whole congregation, says the whole congregation of God, what is this unfaithful act which you have committed against the God of Israel, turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord this day? It's so important. And I've seen this in many different conflicts which you have to help counsel through in the workplace, in the ministry, and even in my own conflicts that I've dealt with my marriage and kids. Oftentimes, what can make or break the way it's resolved is how we focus on the issue. They came in and they said, look, here's the problem. You built an altar And it could be an act of rebellion against God. And then he expounds. So they're not getting all hysterical saying, or historical. They're not getting historical or hysterical saying, bastos kasi kayo eh. Look at you guys. You were just given this land to possess. And look at you. I cannot believe you guys. You're so entitled. You know, you're so... They're not creating all these statements. They're just focused on the issue. You built an altar. It could be an act of rebellion. And look as he carries on. He carries on here saying, hey, you know what? What Peor did, we don't have time to expound on that. And he says that you must turn away this day from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, here's what they're saying. You know what? Damay tayong lahat. We're all going to be affected by this action of yours. So they're focused on the issue. You built an altar, and if this is an act of rebellion, we're all implicated by this. Are you guys following so far? That's what he's saying here. That's what these guys are doing. And as they're doing this, look at what else they do. They said, the 9.5 are saying, if, however, the land of your possession is unclean, so because you're in that other space, maybe it's unclean, maybe that's what you're doing, then cross into the land where we are, the 9.5, so that you can take possession among us. Are you guys following their logic so far? So hey, here's the issue. You built an altar over there. That could be an act of rebellion. We're all in trouble. So instead of doing that, why don't you just come here with us? We already have the temple here, and let's all be together. Are you guys following? So what are we seeing that we're learning from the 9.5, their response to this conflict? When we look at it, the beauty of this lesson is this. We need to focus on the issue and the resolution. Many times, when we have conflict, we can focus on sino bang tama dito, ikaw ba or ako? Who's right here? Is it you? And let me tell you why I think I'm right. If I'm to be honest, that's part of how I get into ugly conflict and we're not able to resolve things. The Bible is telling us, focus on the issue. What is the issue? And if you don't know, ask. For example, you're dealing with someone. Wait, can I ask you, what is the main issue here? Honey, anak, co-worker, co-minister, so that we can resolve this issue. Let's not focus on who is right or who is wrong. Let's focus on what we can do to resolve this. Are you following so far? That is the learning here. Let me give you some practical tips as we unpack this. First, don't say always and never, because when we do this, we are always never correct. Are you guys following? You're always like that. You're always late. You're always reacting. Really? Always? Always? Do not use always and never. Use I feel instead of saying you are the problem. I feel hurt. I feel hurt that you act this way. And then when you're exhausted, we found this very practical. The Bible tells us, do not let the sun go down on your anger, right? But what if you're so exhausted, and this has happened even in our own relationship, bug-bug ka na, and you're not able to resolve it, agree to say, look, you know what? If we carry this on, it's only going to get worse. So let's pause, rest, and then tomorrow regroup and resolve this. Finally, remember, right words, right time, right motivation. I love how Ephesians gives us this guide. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only a word such as good for edification. Everybody see edification? Based on the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. And what I like about this as a side story is the beauty of right timing. You know, I learned this powerful lesson about the right timing from my father-in-law, Pastor Peter, when many years ago, when I was first learning how to preach and speak God's word, I remember that because I was kind of learning through it, I wasn't really very good, to be honest. And my very first speaking, I think it was at a youth gathering or a youth conference or worship service. And when I was about to speak it, I was studying it and I said something like, I'm going to paraphrase it already. You know when Joshua got the stone and he slayed the giant Goliath? Something like that, like really stupid, like really, really, Edric? It's like, Joshua, you know, saying it with so much conviction. And then after that, I realized, what did I just say? So, I can't believe I said that. Kinakabahan ako, I was nervous, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. So because I was so nervous and because I was so new at it, I went to the back after preaching. I started crying. I'm like, oh, I'm a mess. I will never speak again. I cannot even say the right names of the people. I really felt so horrible. And my dad-in-law happened to be there to observe, to see Pastor Peter, whether, you know, I would do it well. And I was afraid. I was like, he's going to give me the hammer. He's going to say, Edric, this is not your gift. You will never speak again.
You can't even get Joshua and David right.
But instead of that, something very strange happened.
So he comes in. Hey, Edric.
I'm like, hey, Dad.
And he's like, good job.
And I was like, good job?
So I was like, I started crying more. I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad. You know, I'm sorry. I messed up. He's like, good job. And then patted me on the back, and he left. And I was like, what just happened?
So because I was in shock and that thing passed, a month later, we're having family dinner, and he's like, hey, Edric, do you remember? I'll try and do his voice.
Hey, Edric, do you remember that time when you were preaching in youth service?
I'm like, yes.
You remember Joshua? Yes. I think you need to prepare better. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Prepare better, study, make sure you get the words accurate. And you know what? That spoke volumes to me. I think if he had given me the hammer, that would have crushed me, would have created conflict and destroyed so many things. Are you with me? So it's so important. Write words that edify. Write motivation. You want to bless them. Even if it's something painful, you need to tell them. Because you love them, you have to speak it to them. But right timing is so key. Everybody say right timing. Right timing. Sometimes you might feel the Lord wants me to say this to you right now. Really? Might not be the right time, like that. And it does volumes. It speaks volumes to the person. Let's carry on. Let's now look at the response here. So the 2.5 are now responding. So the 9.5 told them, here it is, focus on their issue, resolution. The 2.5 respond. The people of Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, how did they answer? Look at how they responded. The Lord, the Mighty One is God. And they say it again. The Lord, the Mighty One is God. He knows the truth. And may Israel know it too. We have not built the altar in treacherous rebellion against the Lord. If we have done so, look at their posture. They're not making excuses. They're saying, look, if we've done this, do not spare our lives this day. If we did this, really, and this is our motivation, then you know what? Let the Lord himself punish us. Are you seeing the posture of the people as they're responding in this conflict? I found it so beautiful and so practical and so real for me. I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. They're so humble in their response. And look at this. I'm going to use NLT so you see the emphasis. They say, the truth is, we built this altar because we fear that in the future, your descendants will say to ours, what right do you have to worship God, the God of Israel? The Lord has placed the Jordan River as a barrier between our people and your people of Reuben and Gad. So you have no claim to the Lord. Your descendants might prevent our descendants from worshiping the Lord. They were very gentle in their response. So we decided to build this altar. Not for burnt offerings, but as a memorial. So we were not acting in rebellion. We were not trying to worship God. We just want to remember. And as they're explaining all of this, look what happens. If they say this, our descendants, look at this copy of the altar. It is not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. It's a reminder for the relationship both of us have with the Lord. Far be it from us to rebel against the Lord or turn away from him by building our own altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifices. Only the altar of the Lord, our God, that stands in front of the tabernacle may be used for that purpose. So what are we learning, guys? This fourth and final learning, so beautiful. Could it be that this is what we need to apply to honor God and respond humbly? Excuse me. I love what the Bible tells us. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And that's what happened. If they had responded and said, kasi naman kayo eh, assume nang assume. Why are you assuming this? Why are you judging us? They didn't say that. They said, hey, you know what? Hey, we're sorry, guys. You know, if this is what you thought, then we'll take the consequences. Humble and gentle tone turns away wrath instead of more anger. And I like how First Peter says, he echoes this. He says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility. Look at the person beside you and say, be humble. Go. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I like how Colossians adds this, and I'm going to add this for all of us. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, the Bible says, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Could it be, friends, I do not know where your life is right now, but God does. And could it be that you're in really major crisis, experiencing conflict, because you have not yet forgiven? That's why you can't humble yourself. That's why you can't experience breakthroughs. I like what Anne Lamott says about this. Not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. Maybe what you need to do, what we need to do, is start by forgiving. And then we can come forward and respond gently. I love the picture of the goodness of God. Because He is so good, how can we not choose to forgive? How can we not choose to resolve things? Let's wind down and see what happened in this powerful, dramatic incident in Joshua 22, and then we'll close in prayer. Is that all right? So here's what's happening as we wind it down. Phinehas heard what they said, right? 2.5, explained themselves, and they were very gentle, humble, they honored God. So he's now saying, you know what? Because of how you responded, it pleased them. The representatives from the 9.5, they were pleased by the response, the gentle and humble response that honored God. And then, look what happened here. They went back, Phinehas and Eleazar, they went back, they told the rest of the people, they said, hey, today we know that the Lord is in our midst because you have not committed this unfaithful act. So they brought the news to the rest of the people. And as they brought the rest of the news to the people, right, they went to the people, they said, hey, we want to let you know what has happened. Here's what they tell them. And as they tell the people what had happened and the response. So, everybody, we're bringing you news from the 2.5. And here's how they responded. It pleased them also. Wow, that's amazing. Really, that's how they responded? And look at what they did. They blessed God. It says, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar witness. For they said, it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. And the reason it's so wonderful and powerful to look at this closing statement in Joshua 22 is because when we're able to follow these biblical principles in whichever conflict we have, one thing for sure will happen. That source of conflict becomes a source of glory, where God will get the glory. This altar which they built, which would have created world war for the tribes, instead became a source of glory. This is witness that we all have this amazing God and we're all united behind this God. Let the generations know. Are you guys following? And we've seen that in many testimonies, week after week after week, we will see conflicts of broken marriages, of broken lives, of people who made bad choices. But when they follow God's word, He restores it and it becomes a source of glory. Like, wow, look what God can do there. If He can do that there, He can do that in my life. Are you guys following me? That's what I find so beautiful about this. So let's recap and wind down. We have learned today how to handle victory over conflict. We've looked at checking our hearts, not reacting and interacting, focusing on the issue and resolution, and honoring God and responding humbly. Shall we bow and pray? Father God, we pray today that You would be the one to create the change in all of us, that really we would have victory in our lives in this specific area of conflict, because we all have conflict. It's a reality. It's something that happens, and our job is not to avoid it. Our job is to resolve it biblically, the way You have designed. And so that is our prayer, that with the tools You've given us today and many more that we might learn through the series or through our different interactions, maybe it's time to be part of a small group, to also keep reinforcing that. Lord, help me, help us to continue to resolve conflicts biblically, so that at the end of the day, that source of conflict will be the source of glory, will bring You glory, just like we've heard in the many stories, even from the powerful example of the different tribes. So Lord, do that. And our next prayer right now, Lord God, is there might be some friends or family members who we have right now who are going through a lot of things. There's so much junk in their minds and hearts, and it's because their hotline is not present, or it's become distorted. And so our prayer now is for all of those, all of you who are saying that right now, oh, yun, that's me. I don't have a hotline to God. I may have known Him, but I've not received Him as the Lord and the Savior of my life, and I have not surrendered. And because I haven't, then I want that. I like what happened to Denise even. So if that's you, you can make a prayer like this. Dear God, today I want to make You the Lord of my life. I surrender my whole life to You. Will You forgive me for all of my sins? And I ask for forgiveness, I thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus as the Savior for my sins. And I receive that as well, so that finally I can receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life, and I can have a hotline to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We now pray for, again, all of us as we go, Lord God, help us to continue to move forward with all the lessons today on how to have victory over conflict and remembering to keep that hotline strong with you. Me'od, with great intensity, we protect that and guard that, our walk and journey with you, Father God, so that we can deal with and resolve any conflict you might allow our way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless everybody.